So when we were holding Ois Kufyat Aleph, where the Rosh gave this this very strong endorsement to going to work, should not rely on Matas Pasar V'dam. Like the Velt says, you know, the idea of being dependently wealthy is not a good thing. It used to be that you were independently wealthy. Nowadays we're dependently wealthy. So I just want to just. Then he says, "Ahi mamon shalcha chaviv alecha yosim igufcha kolav alamecha alecha shechidi." Person shouldn't take money too seriously. That's another issue. But let's just go back to our kufir alv a little bit. So a person's in Karl, he's being supported. So how's he supposed to deal with that? So the first woman that I dated, not the woman that I eventually married, shared with me a thought from one of her previous people that she dated, that he was not an advocate of going to learn in Karlal, because since you're taking a moment from the Tzibur, so it means you're Mevatel Torah even a second, it's Gezel from the Tzibur. And Mela, he just was very uncomfortable learning in Karlal because of the potential Gzela issue. So I said to her, that's a good point. I think that probably the Tzibur is giving money, the understanding that the people they're giving to are not Malachim, they're not Rabbi Yashas necessarily, and the Chazanishas, and they're expecting a normal function. But that being said, I think she's right that a person getting supported, whether it's from the Tzibur, whether it's from somebody who's in the, privately supporting them, they're supporting them with some level of expectation that that the person is functioning within what we'll call normal range, what the person can expect. So that is an achrayus that a person has when he goes into the world of learning, that he has to take that very seriously. It's like any... Rav Moshe talks about that he sees a lot of these color arrangements go under the umbrella of Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar Zvulun is not this is not this sugya. It's not a matana. It's a business deal. Right? He's supporting you for getting something back. So I remember once that I was in Karlal, and so the Shiva's Karlal paycheck in Cleveland was not from the amounts of money to write home about, shall we say, and the delivery, the on-time delivery was not even, it was even less of the amount to write home about. Shiva Chaim called me in, that a person wanted to make Yisrael Zulun with me, you know, with X amount of money. So I said, I don't want to do it. I don't know what his expectations are, that he should be giving me money, that if I'm not meeting up the expectations, it's a shalak zeilo. I'm not, you know, I don't know. The yeshiva paycheck, shalak zeilo, I'm not convinced that, you know, that it's such an issue, because they weren't paying me anyway. Until the time they paid me, it was like, you know, stama, it was a bechilas chayvers, that part, something of that sort. But this, the person was promising to pay on a monthly basis, et cetera, whatever it was. So we went back and forth, and Shiva Chaim encouraged me to do it. I said, Apashel, I'm scared to do it. So finally, the fellow came back and says, the person asked you should daven for him 3 times a day. He said, look at that, I can do. Okay, that I'm asking too, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, but 3 times a day. You know, I said, with regards to the expectation of learning, I don't know what he pictures the expectation of learning. According to Mersh's version of a Yisachar Zvulun, he really sees Yisachar Zvulun as a bona fide partnership, and it's 50-50. So the one who's given the support is sharing half of his income with the learner, and the learner is sharing half of his, whatever that means, half his Torah, all of his Torah, with the supporter. I know of one person who did that with his brother. They were two very close brothers, and he gave half of his income to his brother, besides taking responsibility for marrying up, covering the cost of all the chastens. That's extraordinary. So, but the point Ramesh was saying is you are being oivet. You're being oivet. This is a form of avodah. It's a form of work. It's a business deal with the cries of a business deal. So even if you're not in what's called the bona fide Yisar Hezbollah, the understanding that a person is learning is taking some level of commitment and responsibility to do it is a serious thing. Now, what that is, again, over the years I've had situations where I paid somebody in the car or something, etc. He said, you know, maybe I don't deserve it. I said, I was definitely given the position of a manager. So I have a certain amount of discretion how to give out the money. So if I feel that, you know, I want to give you some extra money or whatever it is, I have a right to do that. Like any manager, you go to the store and he tells you, you know, if you want to return the thing, you know what, you can keep it. He's not the owner. Right? You have to go to the owner. You have to, you know, call up, what's his name, Sam Walton, right? And ask him if it's okay, because he's the owner, right? You know, something like that. Sam Walton, Walmart, something like that, right? You got to ask him, you know, like the guy in the local store, he's not the owner, he's not me, he's a clerk. Tarot says, like, Mr. Walton would prefer that he should deal with it instead of you calling him directly, because he has better things to do with this, you know, being this multi-millionaire, right? Then the answering Ellie Rangel's question whether he has to return this extra chocolate bar that he got, you know, like, he wants the manager to deal with it. That's out of discretion the manager is given to deal with. So the same thing is true in the position of Rosh Karlal. You know, people are giving me money. They're giving me money with the understanding that I'm going to use it as I see fit. So if a guy's having a down month, he's not really learning so well, but overall I feel he's learning. So I have a right to pay him. He's going for 6 months like that. You know, it's like a questionable. Do I have a right to pay him if he's not really learning? So you have to find that the musik of Karlal is something which is a tremendous schus to be in. Again, it becomes so standard in our society, we don't look at it like that. Yeshiva used to always say to us, when a person would go to yeshiva, not even Karlal, just being a bachur in yeshiva, says you have to understand that your parents didn't send you yeshiva because Baruch Hu sent you to yeshiva. Your parents were the vehicle that the Baruch Hu gave you the schus to be in yeshiva. But not everybody's actually being yeshiva. There's thousands and thousands of yidden who don't know what the inside of yeshiva looks like. They don't know, they never got the opportunity to get the chinuch that yeshiva offers you. You have to understand that you're given a tremendous matara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Try to use it as best as possible. Again, the person has to function within what's normal for it. You're going to try and say, well, I have to function, you know, because I got to learn like 27 hours in every 24 hours. You know, it's not going to work. Maybe never, you know, math is a little bit bad over there, but
Rabbi, who said that? Gifter?
Yeshiva, Gifter, he said that regularly. He says, the parents didn't send you yeshiva, the Baruch Hu sent you to yeshiva. The Kabbal Kharman situation where the parents were saying not to go to yeshiva, you know, it's a tremendous school to be in yeshiva, you know, so appreciate it. So it was a little bit easier when I put it out one time, you know, one of the shoes in the last year or two. There's something called Kinas Bnei Torah. Remember that? I mentioned that, right? Yes, I'm familiar. So there used to be something that twice a year, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Chol HaMoed Pesach, in the there was in Agudat Yisrael, 14th Avenue, Alei Shalom, that they had a big hall there, and it could fit about 1,000 people. So twice a year, they would have a get-together for the Bnei Torah of the tri-state area. They would get together there, and one of the other would come to speak. Rabbi Gifter spoke to one time, Rabbi Yaakov spoke to one time, etc. And there was this Cholamite kinus of the Bnei Torah. There's 1,000 people in the room. In 1975, that was called Kinus Bnei Torah. Now, it's not everybody. The people in Cleveland weren't there, the people in Chicago weren't there, people in Denver weren't there, but in the tri-state area, you basically fit 1,000 people into the room. That was the Bnei Torah of you know, Klal Yisrael. In the tri-state area, 1975. That's 45 years ago. Now you would not be able to fit them into 1,000 people. If you get together all the Bnei Torah who live in the tri-state area into one room, right, it's gigantic. So it's a little bit easier to understand the schus that you have when there's 1,000 of you compared to Klal Yisrael, and then there was 100,000 of you or 500,000 of you. Right? But the schus didn't change. The reality is it's a schus. The schus to be in Karlal is a schus. Not everybody's zeichet to go that. There's thousands of Yidden who would love to learn more, are not able to, whatever reason, or they don't even know that what Torah is, who are not, and you person knows what Torah is and has opportunity to learn. It's a tremendous schus. A person should really appreciate it. One of the milas of the time limit to Kollel was it helps you appreciate it. The reality is, if you'd ask people what's the most important thing in the world, the answer is air. Right? Can't live without air for like 5 minutes, 4 minutes, you know. Right? Next most important thing is water. Right? But most people don't focus on the value of air or water. They see diamonds being more valuable than air or water. Right? You pay a lot more for diamonds than you pay for air or water. Why? Because the supply and demand tells you that. So something that the more limited it is, the more valuable it is in people's eyes. The reality doesn't do with that. But that's right. The person who's learning in Kollel for 20 years has a bigger school than the person who's learning in Kollel for 3 years. The guy who's there for 3 years knows his time is limited and might use his time more wisely than the guy who's there for 20 years. Because I know I 3 years from now, I'm out. I better hop around as much as I can. So there's a mila of seeing it as something which is limited, which is best as being renewed. This way you know that, you know, let's try and take advantage of what I have right now. It's tremendous schus to be there. So I think if a person approaches it from that direction, so a little bit of the issue which the Rambam has, you know, the Rambam's issue was it's a bizarre to the Torah that people should take money from the amount of Torah. So the Kasimish's response is that this is now has become the standard, because the other option is worse. It's a bizarre for Torah that there aren't Tamei Chachamim and Klal Yisrael. It's also a pretty big design for Klal Yisrael. We need Tamei Chachamim. So saying, well, I don't involve to the Torah. It's a bizarre for the Torah. So better we should have no Torah. Like that. You know, it's a nice theoretical, ideological concept, but the reality is it's irrelevant. That's the Kasimish's response. So that element is still going to be there, but this idea that you're being subject to mountainous bus of Adam, which that's like a different issue of just pushing, like you're a freeloader. I'm not a freeloader. I'm working. I'm doing something that's tremendous value to society, to myself and to society. I'm working to build a home and myself and as a person, my family, and eventually Klal Yisrael into something of significance, because by using this opportunity, that's the overall benefit for Claudius. Other people learning Torah, so this is part of the issue in Eretz Yisrael. Right? But on the other hand, you got to take it seriously. I told you the story about my sister-in-law's cousin is a dying Rabbanut. So during Shalom BeGalil, 1982. So he was still eligible of age to have to go to the front, but he had a deferment because he was learning. So when they started deploying troops up into Lebanon, he took a cot and moved into Beis Medrash. He told his wife, he said, just because the argument is I'm not going to the front to fight, because learning Torah is protecting Klal Yisrael. So I'm fighting the war here. Just like the guy in the front doesn't go home every night to his wife. So I'm not going to my wife. I'm fighting the war. So the war means I fight my war by learning Torah. That's a Haggadah for Klal Yisrael, Chazal said. It protects Klal Yisrael. Great. So I have no right to shirk my responsibility. I got to be Beis Medrash. Right? If everybody would take their learning like that, seriously like that, a lot of the issues, the ideological issues about, you know, the learning versus going to the army would fall off. If you really believed it yourself and took it seriously, they respect you for it. That, you know, but if you're just paying lip service to the concept, but it's just like a tip to be potter, right? Or because it's, you know, it's fear to go to the army, right? That wasn't why the Gedolim potter. Gedolim potter for two reasons. One, putting a person in authority of Karfim is not good for the person. And second of all is because it's true. The Torah, you're fighting the war at a different front. But believe that and live that. If that would be true, I believe that 90% of the issues in Eretz Yisrael about being upset about people not going to the army would fall off. But honestly, that's not where we're holding. And, you know, that's a sad reality. And that makes things much more complicated.